It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, it's once again time for another edition of Valley Edition. And I'm happy to have on the phone Zaz Hollander, all the way from Willow, Alaska. Welcome, Zaz.
Thanks, Mike.
And I'm also happy to have, all the way from about three blocks away, Terry Snyder in the studio. Welcome, Terry. So what I'm interested in doing is running the numbers today. I'm going to start that because I was fortunate enough to be sitting at a stoplight yesterday at 5:33 p.m. when we had yet another earthquake. And the number associated with that was 4.6. And I can tell you, the car shook. And this is the first time I've been able to be sitting in a car when that happens. I know many other people have had that experience. But let's just check the numbers with you. 4.6, did you feel that, Terry?
I did. Yeah, last night. Yep.
Yeah. Where were you?
At home, in my living room.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that in downtown Palmer.
Right.
Yep.
How about you, Zaz?
Yeah, I actually thought it was bigger than that when it first started. I was in Willow, which is pretty close to where it was epicentered. And it scared the dog in me.
Right, right. And I think that these numbers, you know, we've tossed about numbers like thousands of aftershocks, some have been small. But apparently if you're looking at a number that would seem to grab your attention, anything over four that is not too far away seems to be doing that. Would you agree with that pretty much?
I don't know. Wasn't there? There was one this morning.
I didn't feel that one at all.
Yeah, but that was downgraded to be below four.
Oh, was it?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. We checked it out. Lee was here, and she said, the microphone is moving. And so we looked it up, and sure enough. So I'm thinking I'm going to throw out that 4.0 or thereabouts is the cutoff point, assuming that that is a nearby event, you know, something within 20 miles, perhaps, or thereabouts. I'm going to just throw that out. Well, I'd like to move on to the next number, which I have discovered here, which is zero. And the zero apparently is the number that many federal workers are finding on their pay stub as this goes on. So we're into, day 20-something of the partial federal shutdown. And the important point about that and the fact that this, because of the way the payroll works, is the first time that many of these workers have received a pay stub after the shutdown. And I just wanted to point out that in terms of numbers, we apparently in the state of Alaska per capita have more federal employees than any other state. So, you know, our total numbers are smaller than perhaps other locations, but it affects a greater number of people who live here. And I don't know, have you talked to anyone who's a federal employee who's been affected by this?
I haven't really, but I also would be interested to know how many contractors we have, because it's not just the federal workers, because that the information I've read, it does limit it to a certain amount of categories, but it's really the contractors, because the federal workers, there's some speculation that at some point they will be paid back, but whether contractors, Zaz might not know that if there's federal contractors up here, I think those probably have the most to worry about with this shutdown because there's no surety that they're going to get paid. I don't know, Zaz, do you know any more than that?
Yeah, I have, and we've got a couple other reporters who've been working on that, so I don't know that specifically. I have been interviewing various federal employees on other topics. And the weather service, the forecasters who are giving me the dire temperatures, at least for Anchorage, that didn't pan out overnight last night, although it's pretty cold up here. They are not getting paid, although they do expect at some point to get paid. I've seen accounts of there was a pretty wicked storm, I think, in the Bering in earlier this month, and the Coasties came out and helped a crab vessel that had been disabled by a big wave. And those guys are in a similar situation. The Coasties are anyways. And it's certainly affecting a lot of people. And there are, many federal employees who are, or federally related employees who aren't going to work so they aren't expecting back pay for jobs they're not doing right now.
Yeah, and doesn't that include, too, because this has to affect just about every city, the TSA workers. And that's kind of what came to mind with me is, I don't know, I haven't heard of any slowdowns at Ted Stevens, but...
Not at Ted Stevens, but around the country.
Around the country, there is.
Miami, for example, is one example. They're closing down one of the passageways, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it would appear, even though there have been reports that there are a fairly large number of TSA employees are not coming into work, illness has spread through this flu season, that the times are still increasing. And what we're looking at is another record in terms of numbers, and that's the number of days for a federal shutdown. We're approaching the point where this will be early next week, the longest federal shutdown ever.
Yeah, and I think with these things, too, that, you know, I sort of have a philosophy that even big things can sometimes be inside baseball until people actually feel the pain. And so, you know, it's significant that this will be that first day that paychecks are expected and don't get them. And I think the roar will probably get louder instead of less so. And, I think Senator Murkowski certainly has had her ear to it and has certainly heard from constituents enough that she's concerned about it and the impacts to it and has spoken up to say so. And haven't heard that so much from our other senators, Senator Sullivan or Mr. Young, but I think Senator Murkowski, unless she's just hearing from somebody completely different, is quite concerned about the impact that it's going to have on Alaska. So I think we have to kind of look at that too. But after today, if it continues to go on much longer, I think you're going to see some fallout. Things take time.
And, of course, we have three members of our congressional delegation, and you've mentioned them, Terry. And my impression was that each one has a different take on this. I think you're right in looking to the senior senator, Lisa Murkowski, who is basically saying, we can solve this. We need to move on. Senator Sullivan was somewhat more reticent to say that, supporting the president. And interestingly enough, Congressman Don Young said, hey, look, we can talk about this. Of course, he has now moved from being in the majority to being in the minority. Mm-hmm. So there's that, too. Okay, well, let's look then at another set of numbers, the PFD. There's all kinds of numbers around this. For example, we'll begin with the number 7. The ability to go to the website and to actually apply for the permanent fund dividend this year was 7 days late. It started out, worked well, maybe not quite so well for the first 100 people. It was turned off, and then about 7 days later, turned back on. And so right now, what we are able to say is that we have... I'll check the number right now. We have 59,308 people that have gone to the Permanent Fund Dividend page and have applied at this point. Now, the next number associated with the Permanent Fund Dividend, of course, is how much? Mm. How much will it be? And in the pre-filed bills and activities that have been going on at this point, it appears there are I'm going to round these numbers off. Number one is $3,000, which is looked to be the straight up this year's permanent fund dividend payment. And then double that to about $6,000 should the recipients be made whole, so to speak, by paying what might have been paid to them in the previous years where Governor Walker declined to make that happen. I think those numbers are pretty accurate. The other number that is important because it's the foundation one is 61. The permanent fund dividend corpus, I think, has grown to $61 billion. And the other number is somewhere around $19 billion, which is the amount from which the monies will be drawn. This is another part of the permanent fund dividend operation to pay this PFD. So I'm going to do a rough calculation and say for people with, say, 4 people in their household, 4 times 6 is $24,000. That might make a splash.
Yeah, I have some new thoughts on that just after thinking about this, because, yeah, that does make effect. You know, the other thing it makes an effect too is what keeps me awake at night is what the governor's budget is really going to look like and what the legislature is going to have to give up to do those sort of things. And the impact, a lot of people, you know, are at a certain level and they are able to get Medicaid for that. Or I'm part of an organization that worked really hard to get the senior benefits back up to the 2016 levels after they were cut a few years ago. But it's means tested, which I support too, so that only the people that really need it get it. But if they get these large dividends, that's considered income. And those income figures could have people that were just barely making enough money, getting enough money so that they were able to get those good programs that they needed to supplement their incomes, or they were able to get health care to be able to qualify for Medicaid because of that. That's going to completely change that. And I worry about that because I feel like we're going to be saying, you know, we can take this away from you because we're giving you this. And it's hard, really, really hard to roll those programs back in again. And the dividend is always a moving target. So I think those impacts, unintended or intended, maybe in some cases, on a political side maybe, can have really big effects. And I think that really is kind of a story in itself.
Right. Any reaction to the swirl around the permanent fund dividend, Zoss?
Nothing that would inform this debate beyond, I think, what most of us already know.
Okay. All right. So, of course, there are other hidden numbers under that, that when focusing on the amount that's going to be paid to individuals with permanent fund dividend. Also, we've recently seen that the Alaskan government has used a portion of those monies taken from the permanent fund dividend to pay for government. And, of course, in addition to waiting for what is being revealed as the governor's, Dunleavy's, real budget, there's the question of how do you make up for what looks like likely to be somewhere about $1.5 billion or so missing to balance the budget as we have come to see it. So can the new budget director and the administration, the Dunleavy administration, actually cut its way to a balanced budget? And I have another number here that the crude futures, as we're speaking, began falling after the U.S. crude hit a five-week high above $53 a barrel. There's some profit taking that's occurred, and so it's quite possible that instead of the number, which was somewhere in the 70s when Governor Walker was creating his budget, will have fallen by a lot, down to perhaps 50. And that means, of course, there's a hit on what flows into the Alaskan state treasury. So we have those things to think about. Now, recently, there was a gathering, and it was reported, I think, in the Anchorage Daily News, and we had a number of economists that looked at the situation in Alaska, both in terms of the state of the economy, whether what we're looking at is the end of a mild recession, what was going to happen. But one of the numbers that came out clearly to me was this is the second year in a row there's been a decline in the Alaska population.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep.
Okay, so do you feel more room around you when you're, how big?
Mattsfield grew, so
yeah. Yes.
We wouldn't.
Yes.
But we grew by, I didn't look at the percentages. Is it the normal growth pattern that we enjoy? Or
it was 1,600 people, so.
But and Anchorage lost.
I mean, we were, I think it was 3 or 4%. And so if we're over 100,000, then 1,600 is that.
Yeah, so we're not talking, and there's a psychological effect of this, though, because I think, for example, when the Matsu Borough School District pointed out that it had made a prediction. They've been pretty good about predicting. When you're talking about 19,000 students, and you've got a lot of variables there, they came up and they were just 100 or so under projection, under what they had predicted. Now, that's not a lot when you're spreading it over 19,000 as your base. But still, there was this kind of psychological hit that it's like, maybe if I expect something, I get more, I feel good. If I expect something and I get less, just psychologically, there's something about that. So I'm wondering if the same thing is playing out here when we talk about the Alaska population, even though it's not a lot.
Well, I guess my wonder is, I always like what the school district kind of points to, but it is the fact that the school population is sort of a mini census. But in this case, it declined and our population got higher. And so I'm really interested in comparing the demographics to see what the demographics are of our new population, because it apparently wasn't kids, because we didn't get as many. So I'm really curious about that, because our gain was Anchorage's loss. And having just driven to Anchorage and back yesterday, there seems to be as many cars on the road as there was when all the time. Of course, you can't really gauge that, but I'm curious about that, but maybe Zaz has better insight into those numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're in a place where there are, I mean, when you look out your window, how many people do you see there, Zaz?
I see zero people from my window. I see a lot of burnt spruce trees, though.
Okay.
But does it feel like there's more people moving into the areas that you live?
It will.
Live?
It's hard to read.
Yeah.
Yeah, down in the core area it does.
Yeah.
But up here, not so much. Although, you know, there are more and more people commuting to Anchorage from Willow and even a little further
surprising.
North. So.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, up Hatcher Pass way too is growing too, but it would,
yep.
And I think that we are still building. I think I've heard some of that there are still more single family homes going in here. So again, I think it'll be fruitful to look at those demographics and see exactly what demographic. I'm going to bet, if we have to sit here and bet, I'm going to bet that it's more seniors and people middle aged getting ready to be a senior that are coming in here. But it would be interesting to know how many people from out of state that are choosing to come here as opposed to Anchorage, just because of the cost of housing is cheaper and they see it as a viable thing to be able to commute.
And of course, we're looking forward to Neil Fried's arrival in the Valley sometime in the near future, where he rolls through this and points out the detail, which is important.
Yeah.
Well, there's another set of numbers nationally tossed about. The president recently has taken a primetime effort to explain his rationale for wanting a wall. And numbers were thrown out and checked and fact-checked, et cetera. And there's one number that of all those that were out there that I'll pick, and that's 4,000. There was a suggestion that 4,000 people were in one category. Coming through the borders, and the implication being that this was the number that was crossing, where if you put a wall, they wouldn't do that. And the arrests, I believe, of that number were really happening at controlled areas and not in these uncontrolled areas where you would place the wall. And so even though a number may be accurate, it's actually the detail of what it means may be subject to quite a bit of discussion. So one of the things that I'd like to throw out, I did a quick review out there of a site that I look to for some information. This is 538.com. And there's a number here which is kind of interesting. The number is 1,765.5 per 1,000. I won't wait until you figure out what that is. But basically, according to that site, and really they're taking this information from NBC News, Americans aren't making babies fast enough to replace ourselves.
We aren't the only country.
Right. Japan has long had that issue, and they've worked to overcome it. But to reproduce our population, according to the article, the fertility rate must be 2,100 births per 1,000 women of childbearing age over their lifetimes. And we're at 1,765.5, 16% below the number needed to keep the population stable. And the last phrase is interesting, without additions through immigration. So this whole issue of immigration, et cetera, it's tied up with some numbers here, very interestingly. Last topic, we turn to Juneau. So I can count to 20, and I can count to 21. But down there, they're still apparently, even though there are 40 members of the House, and depending how you look at it, there are 23 members of the Republican Party down there. They're still, at the time we are recording this, they still don't have a decision as who's going to be running things in the House there in the Alaska legislature. So we're getting very close because it's about to start. And by this time, all kinds of work has typically been done. They're getting ready for it. They have people in committee seats and so on. But right now, counting to 21 seems to be a difficulty. Terry.
Yeah, I think there's who knows? I guess maybe I'm just guardedly optimistic they'll have it figured out before they gavel in, but a lot of them are in transport right now, just getting down there. So there's a lot of inside baseball and a lot going behind the scenes that we don't know. And, you know, one way or the other, somebody's going to be in power, and it's going to be a very, very interesting year. The pre-files came out, and there's some 30 bills, a lot of them done here, I think 11 of them by Representative Rauscher. Some interesting bills out there. So some work is being done. It's just a matter of, you know, finding out who's going to execute the gavel at the front of the House. And there's some interesting conversations that you and I are not privy to and that are happening right now, and somebody will get the seat.
Okay. Well, sometimes you have to talk to one another. Following the advice of U.S. Congressman Don Young.
Yeah.
I think that happens.
What kind of breaking stories does Zaz have going on that
as we finish up here?
Knowing? Yeah.
Anchorage-based, a Chugiak High School student was arrested last night for a Snapchat school threat.
Wow.
And the police have identified both drivers involved in that really bizarre and sad head-on collision on Tudor Road in Anchorage the other night, in which a guy driving a Jeep sideswiped another vehicle and then about a half mile down Tudor swerved over into oncoming traffic and hit a 30-year-old man from Anchorage, and both of them died. So we now know the names of the two people, the driver of the Jeep and the victim in the Subaru, but still don't know what happened to cause that. The Jeep driver to do that in the first place.
And it wasn't that many weeks ago that we had that young man with a baby in the car that kind of had, you know, also perished. And although he's been named, there wasn't really a reasoning behind that so much either. So, yeah, that's rough.
So the message that I've noted is that this weather, which keeps oscillating from being below zero, minus numbers to being up into the 20s, produces kind of an interesting approach, both in terms of the quality of the surfaces that we drive and walk on, but also just in the way we are out there. I know I feel differently when I have all my gear on and I climb into a car and it's cold, and there are times when then it changes so rapidly I have to change and take off that heavy gear, et cetera. So I have the feeling that perhaps that changing number of just the way the weather is and the temperatures may have some effect. And
well, also, it's the moose are moving around, apparently. Are you seeing a lot? You must be seeing more of them than I am.
Yeah, there was one up here in Willow. There was a calf hit by a car the other night, and the mama moose was seen standing next to its body the next day.
Oh, saddest thing ever.
Yeah, there are a ton of moose out along the parks.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's a big number, a ton. Okay. Thank you, Zaz Hollander, for calling in and sharing today as we walk through some numbers.
Of course. Good to be here.
And I want to thank Terry Snyder for also sharing as we walked through those numbers.
Have a safe weekend.
Yeah. Take care now, and next week we'll be back with another edition of Valley Edition.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.